us by his Son. In the name of Jesus, amen. Gaudete. It's the Latin word. It means rejoice. And it's what this coming Sunday, not last Sunday, but the ones we're a few days away from, is historically been called Gaudete Sunday. It's the reason we have the pink candle, which will light on Sunday, although it's technically not pink, it's rose. I'm not sure why. Back in a day when more people did penance and fasted during Advent, on Gaudete Sunday, it was the day when you were allowed to break the fast and rejoice with a Big Mac or some other forbidden food. Nowadays, not nearly as much fasting and penance going on, but still the joy. The pink candle of Advent is a sign of all the joy of Christmas that spills back into the whole Advent season. We heard a bit of that familiar reading from Matthew. Again, another one we'll hear Christmas Eve, just like last week. When the Magi, these wise men, when they see the star, we're told, it seems they had seen it for a while, and then it had disappeared. When they see it again, they rejoiced a great joy exceedingly. Joy, joy, joy. The joy that they've been led to this baby king, to Judah's lion, as we sang, whom they humbly worshipped, offerings sharing. Gaudete, pink joy, great joy. And yet there's more to Advent than that. There's more than pink. There's only one pink candle. There's three blue ones, or in some places, purple. Nowadays, if I do the children's message and talk about the blue candles, I say something about how it refers to the color of hope, or along with the purple, it's the royal color. But in truth, while the history of the liturgical colors is a little bit cloudy, it seems that our current blue was once black, and that black became blue or purple, because blue or purple are the colors that black fabric turns as it ages and fades. So once black. So if 1,000 years ago there had been better dyes, or if there had been a fancy color fast setting on people's washing machines like I have on mine, we might have three black candles. And I'd be wearing a black stole. We'd have black pyramids instead of our colors. And that would be fitting for the season, because the season of Advent and the seasons of life are not all pink. Those Advent versicles, the Spirit and the Church cry out. All who await his appearance pray. The whole creation pleads, come, Lord Jesus. Cry, pray, pleads. Those are not the voice of great joy exceedingly. In fact, they call attention to something that's missing. All the things we cry and pray and plead for. Words like that call attention to something else. They call attention actually to the opposite of joy, to sorrow. Pink and blue, joy and sorrow. And Advent is about both. Sometimes in a funny way too. For example, for some, the joy itself might be an odd cause for sorrow. Gaudete. Grammatically, and as I said it, it's an imperative. It's an order. Thou shalt be joyful. It's an order. It's an ought to. And like any ought, a ought to be joyful easily slips into accusation and burden. It's bad enough that I have to write Christmas cards and buy presents for people out of obligation. Now you're telling me that I have to pretend to be happy too. An extra burden, especially when you don't feel like being joyful. Maybe when your family doesn't match up perfectly with the families in the weekly Hallmark specials. Or instead of an extra reason for mirth, Christmas mostly gives you an extra reason to remember who's not there anymore. Be pink and order. When surrounded by blue, just might be a reason for more sorrow. And there is so much sorrow, real sorrow. And Advent won't let us forget that. Or maybe better, just make sure we notice that before we rush on to Christmas. It's a horrible Christmas jingle. It says two sermons in a row, I've slammed it. It says you better not cry. Oh. But those versicles again. In Advent, we sing the church cries and pleads and prays. I heard an ad the other day on the radio for a local chiropractor. It featured a testimonial from a woman who claimed that the adjustments had given her relief from pains she did not even know she had. It seems she'd become so accustomed to the aches, figured they just must be normal, she did not even know they were aches until they were gone. I wonder how many of us that describes, probably all of us, full of sorrows of body and mind and soul, sorrows we don't even recognize as sorrows anymore, we've had them so long. I mentioned those magi too. How upon seeing the star and being led to the baby King Jesus, they rejoiced a great joy exceedingly. Wonderful. But then what does the last verse of that reading say? It says, and they departed to their country by another way. In other words, they went home. And you know what happened when they got home? I'm sure they shared some of the news and rejoiced some more. But I bet they also got sad. At least sometimes. I mean, they were away from home on this journey from where they lived to Jesus. We don't know exactly how long, but at the very least, it was a few months, probably closer to a few years. Maybe they returned home to find they'd been replaced at work, or that some loved ones had died in their absence, or returned to just regular life, which means plenty of reasons for aches and pains and sadness and sorrow. No constant, no permanent rejoicing, a great joy exceedingly. But you know what was constant and permanent and true? The one to whom the star had led them in the first place. Judah's lion, the child king, God's own son, born to them and for them. That did not change, happy or sad. That stayed exactly the same. And stays the same, which is finally the way we deal with this strange mixture of pink and blue in Advent and in life. In terms of the Advent wreath, we stick a white candle in the middle. The Christ candle. We don't light it yet, but we stick it there. Whatever color you're feeling, the candle says Jesus is right there in the middle of it. Even better than that, it says there is no right or wrong way to feel as a Christian. Some Christians are happy, some Christians are sad. The Advent and Christmas message is not something wonderful has happened, and if you're not happy all the time as a result, there's something messed up about you. Now, the Advent and Christmas good news, it's not about how you or I feel. It's about what God has done and how God feels. And God's feelings don't change. He rejoices over you. Zephaniah chapter 3 says, he rejoices over you with singing. And what God has done is sure and certain and lasting and undoable, whether you're blue or pink, or some combination that makes lavender, mauve, magenta, or plum. Any mix of happy or sorrowful. Christ is born. God's majesty has come to earth. Born for you, lived for you, died for you, and lived again for you, to come again for you, as we sang in that carol, finally, to set you free from all your sorrows wholly. And when that happens, then only joy. And then we'll join that lady from the ad, rejoicing with each other in relief, even from sorrows we never even knew we had. What joy. But until then, the Spirit and the church cries out, "Come, Lord Jesus." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.